Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, April 14th. I'm Ray Graff, and I was born in the Bronze Age of comics. Back in those days, you know, early 70s, you could get a comic for 15, 20, 25 cents. You get a pack of Topps baseball cards for maybe 50, 75 cents. And most of the comics, they get tossed out. Your Aunt Mildred shows up and cleans up. They get thrown away. The baseball cards end up in the spokes of bicycles. But those smart kids who kept those cards from the 70s, they're the ones driving sports cars today because they're worth some money. And we talk comics and sports cards today with Bill Townsend of Electric City Comics and Al Itzkoff of Al's House of Sports Cards in Schenectady. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. We'll be back with your questions coming up. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We're discussing comics and sports cards today with Bill Townsend of Electric City Comics and Al Itzkoff of Al's House of Sports Cards. Both are located in Schenectady, New York. Bill is the owner of Electric City Comics, founded in 1982. It's now one of the oldest comic shops in upstate New York. Bill was an advisor to the Overstreet comic book price guide update, has some experience on the other side of the publishing chain as well as a comic book writer. Al is the sole proprietor of Al's House of Sports Cards, which he opened over 15 years ago. He's an avid collector, has been all his life. His shop carries complete card sets and sports memorabilia. If you want to check out the value of some things you may have lying around, this is a good time to call. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Bill Townsend, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm glad to be back.
Great to have you here. It's been a while, and we'll check in with you momentarily and see how things are going during the pandemic. Al Itzkoff, welcome back, sir.
Hey, how are you, Ray?
Doing pretty good.
So glad to be here.
Doing pretty good. I guess I'll start with you regarding how things have been going during the pandemic. And correct me if I'm wrong. And I'm sure I am. I am most of the time. But are sports cards exploding? Here's the thing. I go to this big box store every couple weeks to get supplies. And they always have baseball cards. Every spring I'll get 5 or 10 packs just randomly of baseball cards. They were sold out, and they have not restocked. Are things really exploding in that market again?
Oh, yeah. People are just lining up. I mean, they get, I believe Target gets deliveries on Friday, and you got people lining up, right, like Thursday at 8 o'clock, try to be the first ones in line to grab cards or whatever they can get their hands on. It's unbelievable.
I mean, is this...
And it sells out in minutes.
You know, you guys have both been on several times, and we both know that the markets go up and they go down. Has the pandemic, and I'll throw this to Bill in a moment and get his take, has the pandemic caused people to rethink collecting things?
Yes, the pandemic definitely. I think it brought back a lot of the collecting. People were stuck at their house. They were going through their things. They're finding stuff. Oh, wow, I had this when I was a kid. Gee. I wonder if this is worth anything. And before you know it, they're full-blown collecting again. And I think it's the same for comics, too. Comic books been exploding, too, well, just like cards.
That is correct.
Let's find out. Bill, yeah, how are things going over in the comic book world?
I think that this is something kind of broadly happening among all collectibles. I mean, back issue sales have been bigger than they've been in years. And what's really weird is the other half is happening too. We're having more people coming in with collections. And these collections are things like, I picked up one collection that's from the very beginning of the Silver Age, like 1953, 54, 55. Another collection from 1960, 1959, when the Silver Age was really rolling. And it's like books like those don't appear every day. And yet collections like that are coming in. So we're seeing a lot of sales for back issues, and we're also seeing people bringing in collections. I think a lot of it has to do with people being stuck at home and like, oh, let's see what's up in the attic. Like, oh, look what I found. And it's kind of, I've heard a lot of stories like that.
It's amazing. And, you know, I joked at the top of the show that I was born in the Bronze Age, but I really, in the 70s, early 70s, when I was collecting comic books as a kid, that was a prime time, and they were cheap. You go to the local drugstore, and you buy a bunch of them, and, you know, most of them, I went downstate to get a radio job in, like, 1990, and I sold all my Marvels. I'm looking at the first appearance of the Wolverine in Incredible Hulk, and
Oh, my Lord.
I was literally weeping before the show. I mean, good Lord, what happened?
It exploded.
That book is crazy expensive. A nice one is going to go for maybe $4,000 or $5,000 at this point.
It hurts me. It just hurts me. But, you know, have the prices, the values.
I've sold so many of those, so I've seen a lot of them go through my hands, and I didn't get any $4,000 or $5,000 for them. So,
Al, has the same thing been true? I mean, back in the day, you could buy a pack of baseball or football cards, Tops, you know. It was only Tops for most of us back then. And
yeah, for 45 cents, 50 cents, you could buy them, even cheaper than that before. What started the whole thing is Upper Deck. They were like the la creme of la creme. They started producing, you know, extremely high-end cards in 1989. And, you know, before you know it, you know, kids have to come up with a dollar or two to get a pack. And then Topps answered back to Upper Deck, and they said, okay, we're going to come up with something called Stadium Club, with have the Kodak photography, and they were beautiful. And they started being $4 or $5 a pack, and then the market just started to go crazy in the 90s.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the values of some of these, you know.
Now it's ridiculous. You can get a product of basketball cards called Prism, and that's like a $2,500 box. I mean, that's like, you know, goodbye to your mortgage payment if you want to buy a box of cards. It's really out of hand. It's very expensive, some of the stuff. It's literally pricing the kids right out of the hobby with all these high-end products they're making.
Well,
are they printed on actual gold bars?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think so. Bill Townsend is with us from Electric City Comics. Al Itzkoff of Al's House of Sports Cards. If you have some stuff lying around in the attic, not people, but if you have some things, some baseball cards or some comics, give us a call, 800-348-2551. We go to Glenn in Schenectady. Glenn, you're on.
Yes, good afternoon, guys. I really appreciate it. I live in Schenectady, and I really appreciate you guys as a resource here in Schenectady. My question today is for Al. I have a cachet from Cooperstown from 1992 of Tom Seaver and Raleigh Fingers. You know, were inducted in 1992 in Cooperstown. I just have the one black and white cachet with the stamp and the postmark, and it's in plastic. Are you familiar with that, Al, or value?
Yeah, I'm
that?
Familiar with that. Is it signed by the players, or is it just a blank cachet?
It's a blank, I think.
Yeah, blanks are like $5, you know, $10 if they're stamped on that day. They're not really worth that much. They got to be signed by the players.
Yeah, I wish. All right, thanks so much.
Hey, thanks a lot for the call.
Yeah, you're welcome.
800-348-2551 is our telephone number. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org. If you have a comic book or collectible sports card or memorabilia question for Bill Townsend and Al Itzkoff, let's go to Brent. Brent and Chatham, that's a noisy start to your call, sir. You're on.
Sorry about that, boss.
Okay, you go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, man.
All right. So I'm calling about a particular hockey card that I got quite a while back, and I just can't get any information on it. And now I don't know. I figured since you listen to the radio and these guys are on, might as well call in.
Yeah.
So it's a Boys of Winter. I think it's Upper Deck. It's a Alex Ovechkin autograph card. And I've looked for other information, and I can't find anything about it.
Do you know the year of it?
I want to say it's like a 2015, maybe 2017, 16, something like that.
It's probably like Boys of Winter.
It's two, like a series of 25. So I don't know if that was.
Like a 2010, 2011 Donner's Boys of Winter, Alex Ovechkin. It's about like a $5 card. It's an insert. It's got the ice in the background, I think.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
If it's autographed, it's probably worth way more. Yeah, if it's a signed card, it's worth way more.
I've looked online before, and I've never found anything like it.
Interesting. I wonder if go ahead.
I know they made base cards. Donner's made base cards of that. I believe 2010, 2011, Donner's made it. It was called Boys a Winner. But, yeah, I don't really do too much hockey, but, I mean, I get some. I mean, it's not very popular sport in my shop, the least selling sport. But I would if I were you, I would just check Alex Ovechkin's autographs, what they go for online, do a little completed listing search, and that will you'll get an idea what it's worth.
Oh, all right.
All right.
Okay.
Brent, thanks a lot for the call. We're going to take a quick break here at Sports Cards and Comic Books today with Bill Townsend and Al Itzkoff. The number is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. We'll be right back. Yeah, it's a New World Composers Octet from out Berkeley way in Boston. My buddy Dan Smith playing sax and who wrote that. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. 800-348-2551 is the number. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. And one email here, fellas. This is from Greg. Greg says, I just acquired Dime Press number 4, Hellboy's first appearance. It's in Italian. How did Hellboy transition from an Italian publication to DC? Please expand if you know. Thanks. That's from Greg.
Well, Hellboy was created by Mike Mignola, who is an American comic artist. That might be Hellboy's first appearance in Italy, but his first appearance here was, I think, just simply in, it was in Dark Horse Presents. There was a Hellboy story, but Mike Mignola is as American as they come. His first appearance was not in an Italian publication.
Okay, because that would be great. You know, Italian Hellboy, that's good. This is from Allie, and this is for Al. Allie writes, okay. I inherited my dad's extensive baseball card collection, many signed, all cards over specific players' careers, etc., all collected over maybe a 50-year span. Any recommendations on what to do with it all? Is it worth more as a collection or individually? Just not sure where to go with this.
Well, what I would do is if there's significant signatures in there, I would get those authenticated by PSA. I would get them all slabbed.
Yeah.
And if they're and the other ones, I would just put them in a group and try to sell them as a group. But if you have like Jane Karen, you know, Mickey Mantle, Joe DiMaggio, I'd recommend for her to get them authenticated by PSA or JSA so that at least people know that they're real. That way she can actually, you know, get the most money out of them. Because without the authenticity, she's not going to really realize the full potential value of the collection.
Well, a couple questions come to mind, and you and I have talked about this before. One, it must be that authenticating old signatures for people who are dead is an inexact science. True or not true?
It's a fact of opinion, and I don't care what company you use, JSA, PSA. At the end of the day, it's an opinion. They're giving their professional opinion on the signatures. At least you have something there with that, you know. Everybody says, my grandpa got this done for me, that. That's
right.
Great, but if it's not real, you know, it's not really worth anything.
And my other question is, all right, let's just say I have a signed Babe Ruth card lying around, and how, in my infinite paranoia, would I ever send it anywhere? I just don't think I could do that.
But then you go to the show, wait for the world to open up, and you make sure PSA or JSA set up at the card show there. I would go in and just present the card and say, hey, I'd like to get this done within the next hour or two. Mm-hmm. And they will do it for you. And you can get the card back instead of submitting it. If you, you know, if you don't feel comfortable sending it through the mail.
Here's the problem. I would watch it like a hawk the entire time. You know, I'm always afraid someone will put the old switcheroony on it. And I know that's probably not. These are professional people.
Nah, these are big companies. Their reputation is on the line. Reputation is everything in this business. You know, if you have bad rep, I mean, you're not going anywhere.
All right, this last email, and then we'll get back to the phones at 800-348-2551. This is also a baseball card question. Subject heading, 1943 baseball cards, and this is from Brian in Leverett, Massachusetts. Brian writes, I have a set, minus one, of 1943 MP and Company, NYC, and I can't get any information on them. Can you help? M, period, P, period, and Company, NYC, meaning New York City.
MP, I think those are cutouts.
Okay.
Those are like they're like almost like cartoons.
Yeah. Okay.
They were made during World War II when the paper was just unbelievable. It was really hard to get, and everybody and their grandpa was just trying to save on everything and recycle everything. So the quality of those cards are not the greatest. I believe they're like, they have dots on them, like you can cut around them.
Yeah. Do they have any historical value, any sort of monetary value today?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're traditionally, you know, they're MP Company from New York City, made in the USA. I know what they are. They're not very popular. They're not like Bowman and Topps.
Right.
Okay. I mean, they go big, you know, it's not like the most desirable set. It's not like a 1933 Gaudi. But they are cool. They're different, you know?
Yeah, and I suppose you just wait until you find that right person who's really interested in that. And
Exactly. To somebody that likes to collect oddball items like that, yeah, they would like that. And it's old. You know, it's got Ted Williams in there. It's a cool set, but it's not popular.
All right, Al Itzkoff joins us from Al's House of Sports Cards and Bill Townsend of Electric City Comics on today's edition of Vox Pop. The number is 800-348-2551. Peter in Salem. Peter, you're on.
Hi, this question is probably more for Al. I've got a storage bin, like a six-quart storage bin full of old baseball, football, and basketball cards. I say old, from the mid-80s to early 90s. My stepson abandoned mm-hmm. them in my storage shed, and I'm ready to make room in the storage shed. And was just curious if it would be worth my time to take it into a reputable dealer and have, you know, see if they're interested in them. Or would they be better off just going to the dump?
No, you're better off just bringing it. Let somebody look at them. You know, you never know. You might have a Michael Jordan rookie card. You might have like a Derek Jeter rookie. You don't know. I mean, there's not going to be a lot of value in the 80s and 90s because they were heavily mass produced.
Oh, yeah.
But there are a few cards that got value, you know? And you know, you could do something with that. I mean, you can always toss them in the garbage, but definitely have somebody look at them. Absolutely.
Okay.
All right, Peter, thanks a lot for the call. It's Comics and Cards today, 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Al Itzkoff and Bill Townsend. Let's go to Stan in Pittsfield. Stan, you're up.
Hi, can you hear me?
You bet.
Okay, my question is a baseball card question. The reply cards that were put in Baseball Card Magazine in the 80s and 90s, there's a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie, and they're really nice. They're fashioned after the 59 Topps cards, and that yes. I bought a Griffey not too long ago for $900, a gem mint PSA.
Okay.
And it seems it's gone through the roof. It's already going for like $5,000. I'm just wondering, do you think that's will ever be comparable to like a Ricky Henderson rookie Topps or like the Ozzie Smith rookie because the population is so low?
No, I don't think so. Because there's a lot of those magazines out there, and if people start cutting them all out and submitting them to PSA, you're gonna see a big spike. And the Ozzie Smith, that's a gem card because it's always off centered, always. So to get one centered and you get a high grade on it,
there are a lot of print problems. There are a lot of print problems because I have a bunch of the magazines too. There's a lot of fisheyes and stuff. So I don't know. But you don't think so, though, huh?
No, because it's not a mainstream card. It was in the magazine. But I'm not saying it's a bad card. I think it's a wonderful card, and it's extremely rare. But it's Ricky Henderson rookie is a 1980 Topps. Ozzie Smith is a 1979 Topps. So they're mainstay. They're more collected, they're more accepted by collectors than the magazine card.
So Even the the Upper Deck is always going to rule, even though there's a zillion of them out there.
Yeah, Upper Deck is Griffey's most popular card. Absolutely, that card has increased in value like crazy, especially in a PSA 10.
Okay. Al, why is it the most popular card? In other words, why is the Upper Deck?
That was the Cadillac. Upper Deck brought the hobby into what it is today, into the modern age. They came in with a beautiful product, and they made they made the market what it is today. Tops would make, just our regular dull cards, and Upper Deck came out with the hologram, with the beautiful photography. It made Tops more competitive. It made Fleer, Donner's, Upper Deck made everything competitive when they started producing cards.
I mean, for a time, the value really seemed to go up and up and up, and then I thought it kind of went back down a ways. Are we seeing it go back up again?
No, it leveled off.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Everything is leveling off right now. Because it went up so high,
Yeah.
The only thing I still think is very hot is the new basketball market. That is insanely hot with all the rookies.
Interesting. Let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. You got a sport? Go ahead.
Can I make one little clarification? The person who asked about the first Hellboy appearance.
Yeah. This is Bill Townsend.
Real Hellboy appearance is in a book called Next Men 21.
Yeah.
But a couple of months before that, Mike Mignola did a cover for an Italian fanzine named Dime Press, and that cover is considered kind of his first appearance, even though it's kind of a prototype character. He isn't red like Hellboy, for instance. And a nice copy a few months ago went for about $750.
Well, that's
but that was a top condition one.
That's really great news for that earlier emailer. Bill Townsend handles the comic book questions from Electric City Comics. Al Itzkoff handles the sports cards and memorabilia questions from Al's House of Sports Cards. And let's now go to Patrick in Rotterdam. Patrick, you're on.
Yeah, how's it going? I bought the Hulk 181 from Bill in 1984 off the wall there for a Christmas gift. And I'm not going to tell you how much I paid, but I'm with Bill, or with Ray, I'm sorry. Is it worth sending this CGC if it's worth? I don't think it's like mint. I think it's about an 8, but I'm no professional. I'm just wondering if it's worth.
Oh, it probably is worth it for that one.
We were just talking about Hulk 181, actually.
That's what made me call in.
It's considered the first real appearance of Wolverine, although Wolverine appeared in the last panel of Hulk 180.
Yep.
Right.
But I mean, I could look it up in the guide, but I know that the guide is always lagging behind what the real price is. I think that a nice copy, like a 9.6, a 9.8, is going to be in the $4,000 to $5,000 range.
Oh, it's killing me.
I hear you groan. So would it be worth sending to CGC? Yes. They might, make you unhappy with they might not grade it as high as you think they should, but a book like that, I mean, just looking at the guide, even in fine, it's a $1,500 book. So,
okay. Yeah, I'm with Ray, whether you trust sending it to them and getting it back the way you sent it.
Well, no, you'll get it back the way you sent it, but you might be disappointed. It's like, they only said it's a 5.5. I thought this was an 8.
Can you get a second opinion?
Nah.
Well, actually, you can, because I've heard stories of people getting a book back from CGC and not liking the grade, so they crack open the thing and then send it back in again.
Oh, interesting.
And sometimes they get a different grade, although, there's no guarantee. It's like, it was a 6.3, and they sent it back, and it's only a 6.1. I made a mistake.
I'm gonna interrupt you guys. You can also get it pressed and cleaned. That way, you're definitely going to get that high grade. I think CGC offers that service, too.
Pressed and what is it, a pair of slacks? What are you talking about, pressed and cleaned? What do you mean?
They'll press it. They'll clean it. Yeah. CGC offers a service for that. It's something they do.
Amazing.
So say your book is a 6, but with pressing and cleaning, you might hit a 6.5 or a 7.
I'll be darned. The number here is 800-348-2551. It is Sports Cards and Comics Today. And, I always do an over-under on the number of calls that we're likely to get on any show, and I didn't expect a lot. The lines are jammed up, gentlemen, so We'll do the best we can to get to all of these calls, but you guys are pretty popular right now. Let's go to Phil in Pittsfield. Phil.
Hey, my question is regarding some Topps baseball cards that I acquired with my grandfather when I was a kid. We used to go to all these baseball card conventions, and we'd always buy box sets of everything. And this one time, we just happened to buy these three matching box sets of Topps mini cards. And it's all the big names, you know, Cal Ripken, Ozzie, you know, all the baseball card names. But they're mini cards, and I have never seen them anywhere else. I've never seen them online. And I'm just wondering, you know, have you seen them? Do you have any information on them? Value really isn't of interest to me because they're not for sale.
In a little set. Did they come in a little set, like a 800-count box, and they were mini?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I probably have
those are very popular, especially
two to 500 of these cards. And they're mint. I mean, they're an absolute new condition. But I've never seen them anywhere else. I was wondering, you know, what's the deal with these?
Yeah, the most popular card is the 1993 Topps Mini Derek Jeter rookie, hands down. That's like the most, you know, coveted card. That's what everybody chases. And
really?
And if you can get it graded in a high grade, it, you know, goes for a decent amount of money.
But in terms of a full set, I mean, would someone be interested? Because I have three of these matching sets. They're all the same. I don't know the exact year. Right. Yeah, I wish I took them with me everywhere.
The most popular one would be the 1993 set.
93. Well, I'll go home and look at them. All right. Well, great. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Thanks, Phil.
Hey, you're welcome.
Number here is 800-348-2551. Al Itzkoff is here. Bill Townsend is here. We talk comics and cards once in a while on this program, and it seems to be a good call today. Let's go to Denise in Newburgh. Denise, you're on.
Hi. I have in my hand a letter from JSA. I had this baseball for years and years that belonged to my late husband, who got it in 1956, and I always believed it was of great value. And I got this letter back that began, regret to inform you, which is never good.
Yeah.
And it turns out it was manufactured by the Autograph Ball Company of High Point, North Carolina, sold as souvenirs. They threw them out to the stadiums that day. Is it worth anything? They didn't tell me what it might be worth. Is it worth anything?
It's a facsimile baseball, probably. It's a souvenir.
Yes.
So yes. I don't think it's going to be worth a lot of money because they sold them at the stadiums.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, it's a souvenir. It's got to be
Robinson,
like a real
souvenir.
Yeah, you got to keep that, though,
it
Denise.
It looks real.
You got to keep
real,
that. Put it on the mantle.
Yeah, you got to keep that. It's probably worth a sentimental value to somebody. Maybe $150, $200 from there.
Okay. All right. Very good.
And Gil Hodges should be in the Hall of Fame, too. So, Denise, thank you for the call. The number is 800-348-2551. Let's grab one more before our next break with Al and Bill. And who has been waiting the longest? Looks like it's Lynn. Lynn in Columbia County, you're on.
Hi, guys. I have a sports movie memorabilia question.
Okay.
Can you help me out?
Try.
Yeah. Okay. I can try. Sports movie.
Okay. My dad had a bit part in the 1954 film Angels in the Outfield.
Cool.
And he got, very cool guy. I love my dad. Anyway, dad got, he was made friends with everybody, and he had 8x10 glossies from Paul Douglas and Janet Leigh that are autographed and inscribed to my dad. And I've often wondered if they're worth anything other than to me.
I'm sure they are. I mean, they're definitely rare. That was a movie from 20 years ago, I think.
Oh, no, long.
No, it's from 1954. The old one that was filmed at Ford
Field in Pittsburgh.
Oh,
wow. Okay, I'm thinking of the one with the Danny Glover one. Okay.
No. This is the original with Paul Douglas and Janet Leigh.
Oh, wow.
It was an MGM film from 1954. And my dad had a bit part in it. And so I've got, you know, a bunch of 8x10 glossies, film stills, that kind of thing. But then also I've got these two autographed glossies from the two stars.
Wow.
And they're inscribed to my dad. And I was wondering
that's
if you had any ideas.
Hmm.
Well, is it signed by Paul Douglas and Janet Lee?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I mean,
to
I
my
would.
Dad.
That's something a Hollywood collector would definitely want. I mean, it's definitely a very cool piece. Mm-hmm. I just don't really do too much Hollywood stuff, but it is a very interesting piece.
Well, that's okay. I didn't know if it was in your wheelhouse, but I had to ask because I was enjoying the show so much.
Yeah, that's
so,
more like movie memorabilia than sports memorabilia.
Yeah. Lynn, what part did he play?
Okay. He was the umpire.
Oh, my gosh. That's so cool. All right, we got to take a break here, but thank you for that one. Al Itzkoff of Al's House of Sports Cards is here. Bill Townsend of Electric City Comics. More of your calls and your emails coming up. Vox Pop on WAMC, sports cards and comic books today with Bill Townsend and Al Itzkoff. The number to call is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. And let's race through a couple of emails here. This one's from Philip. Philip says, I've been an avid collector of ranging from comics to trading cards, particularly playing Magic, The Gathering, and Yu-Gi-Oh! In my younger years. And right now, I'm looking at collecting vintage Pokemon cards since I missed out when I was younger. My question to you is, what's the best way to store those cards? Al.
I would get 9 pocket pages, or I would get soft sleeves. That's the best way to protect your Pokemon cards, I believe, you know, unless you have some certain special ones that you want to submit to get graded. And good luck with that, because I'm probably a year behind.
All right. What do you mean?
That's the best way to store them. That's what I would do. Soft sleeves and top loaders or pages, Ultra Pro.
Interesting.
9 pocket pages.
No, you said a year behind. You mean it peaked last year and it's going down again?
No. PSA was so overwhelmed that they had to shut down their grading company.
Interesting. Okay, this one is from Dorothy. Any value of a Jim Thorpe football card, All-American, number 37?
It depends what condition it's in. I believe that's a 1955 Topps. That's a nice card. You know, it could be worth $100. It could be worth $500 or more. It depends what shape it's in.
All right, here's a comic question. This is from Edward. I don't know where Edward's calling from, but it doesn't matter. Edward writes, any idea of the value Xander in Lost Universe number 0, Deadpool, 4-comic limited set from the late 90s, Bill Townsend?
Okay. Now, the first one was what again? Xander?
Xander in Lost Universe number 0.
Okay, that is not something that's ringing a bell with me. It sounds like something relatively recent.
Okay.
The Deadpool limited series from the 90s, that isn't Deadpool's first appearance, but that was his first solo adventure. And this was actually published before Deadpool was really Deadpool. You know, Deadpool is kind of like, you know, Bugs Bunny with a gun.
Oh, how nice. Thank you.
Like constantly talking to the camera and all this other stuff.
Right.
There's never been a super amount of interest in the miniseries. They seem to be more interested in the earlier appearances.
Mm-hmm.
New Mutants 98 was his first appearance, and then the second one was X-Force number 2. I think the looking it up is basically what I got to do. But
all right, fair enough.
My guess is that Deadpool 1 is about a $25 book.
Okay.
So.
All right. So it's not enough to pay for a Ferrari, let's say. So, all right.
I'm looking it up, and number 1 is listed in perfect condition as $22.
All right.
So I was in the right ballpark.
You indeed were. This one's from Andrew. Andrew writes, my father got into buying baseball cards in the late 80s. He collected Topps, Fleer, Score, and Donruss retail packs, as well as complete factory sets for about the next 10 years. Is there any demand for baseball cards from the 90s? Are they of any substantive value?
There's only a handful of cards that are worth any kind of money from the 90s.
Okay.
The 1993 Tops, your Derek Jeter rookie card, the 94 Upper Deck, Alex Rodriguez rookie. Not really too much for baseball.
Do you think that a lot of those cards were, the value was destroyed by the whole steroid era?
Well, that didn't help anything either.
What'd you say?
Especially Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire.
Yeah.
I mean, those cards were, you know, very valuable one time.
Yeah. I mean, has Roger Clemens, have the value of his cards increased again?
His rookie card picked up a little bit. Yeah, his rookie card picked up a little bit more. People have more interest in the rookies, like the 84 Fleer update, the 85 Tops, 85 Donruss, Fleer.
Mm. All right.
They've gone a little uptick.
All right, let's go with one more email here and then back to the phones. The lines are loaded. This one is from Paula. I had the pleasure of meeting Joe Frazier before he passed away. I have a boxing glove signed by him. It has been inside a display case since I received it. Wondering, is it worth anything? And that's from Paula.
Joe Frazier. There we go again. Yeah, it is worth something. And unfortunately, she's going to have to authenticate that, either JSA or PSA, to get the most value out of it.
Okay. Fair enough. Let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. It's sports cards on comic books today. And let's see. We'll go with the person who has been waiting absolute longest, and that is Shannon Kinderhook. You're on. Oh, boy. That's not a good start. You got a vacuum on.
Hello?
Oh, there you are. Go ahead.
Huh.
Hi.
Okay. So I worked in the film industry on the West Coast.
All right.
For a long time, advertising. And so I have, like, a lot of movie and entertainment-based trading cards. And about, maybe 6 weeks ago, I came upon a cache of... It looks like they're, like, in their folders, like, the archival folders. And there are some really interesting things, such as, oh, my God, the abominable Bee Gees movie, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, Topps Gremlins series, Terminator 2... E.T. Returns. Yeah. No, is that Returns?
E.T.
87 cards.
Movie tops
Batman
movie
Returns.
Okay.
Indiana Jones, Hidden Treasures.
Right.
Five-O Goes West. The Rocketeer.
Okay, we get the picture here.
Yeah.
So what do you think, Al?
Yeah, these are anywhere between $5 to $15 sets. They're, you know, not as popular. The most popular would be, like, Star Wars, Incredible Hulk.
Powder Puff Girls.
79.
Sure.
I'm not selling any of them.
Okay.
But the two most interesting ones, actually the one most interesting ones, was it's a set of trading cards for Hershey's chocolate.
Ah.
That has old advertising art.
Oh,
and
cool.
Since that's what I did, that's what grabbed my eye.
Gotcha.
Because I got a box of probably a couple thousand cards, all in archival sleeves.
Okay.
Somebody worked really hard.
Okay, Al. Anything on the chocolates and the? I'm at a loss. What do you think? Have we?
These are all like non-sports.
So really, you have no answer.
Sports. This is all like Hollywood stuff. I mean, the non-sports stuff sells for less money. That's
okay.
All.
All right.
Not all of it does. Not all of it. You know, certain stuff is worth quite a bit of money.
Frankly, Al, you sound a little irritated by it, and I understand. We'll move on. Thank you very much, Shan, for the call.
Oh, I'm not irritated. I'm not irritated at all.
I'm kidding. 800-348-25. I'm irritated. Let's go to...
It's not sports.
Ernie and Knox. Hello, Ernie. You're on. Hello, Ernie.
Oh, hello. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I have two quick questions. First of all, I have two New York Mets yearbooks, one from 1967-68, one from 1968-69. They're in fairly good shape. And then I have a poster of the New York Knicks from 1970, a 3x2 poster with photos of Kibuscher, Reed, and Monroe, and nice. Guys like that. I was wondering if there's any value to those.
Yeah, the yearbooks, the posters, Hello? Those are, they got a little value. Hello?
Hello. Hi.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Can you hear everybody? Let's just move on then. So the sports memorabilia, the yearbooks from 68, 69 Mets, 69 obviously a world championship year.
Yeah, 69, yes.
70 for the Knicks, good year.
Yes.
All right, so there's
very good year.
There's value to be
had. There's value there.
And where would you find a good reference where Ernie might be able to find the value on some of these things?
If you go to Barnes & Noble, you can pick up a memorabilia book, price guide. You can check eBay, completed listings, which is another way to go. Wait for the world to open up and go to a card show and talk to a couple people.
All right, let's go. Let's go to the next one here. Pete in Poughkeepsie. Hello, Pete.
Yeah, hi. I have about 3,000 cards collected from the 1950s baseball, and including several Mickey Mantles. But my question is, a hand-collected Topps set with Mickey Mantle in it, should I break the set or sell the set?
I would sell the complete set. I think you're going to get way more money for a complete set than just an individual mantle. Unless your mantle is like absolutely beautiful and the rest of the set's like lesser conditioned.
Okay. Well, these were hand collected and stored, so my guess is 8 or better condition wise.
Yeah, I would try to sell the whole set as a whole and, you know,
okay.
Try to get the most value out of it that way.
All right.
Let me ask, one quick. So I have multiple copies of the Mantle Rookie. Should I put the best one in or sell that one individually and put a lesser in this set?
You have a Mantle Rookie. I would definitely get that puppy graded, and I would sell that individually.
Okay. So I have multiples. So should I put a lesser grade in the set and sell the set?
Yeah, I would put the lesser grade in the set.
Yes, so Al thinks
okay, gotcha.
Yep, the lesser grade in the set. Pete, thanks a lot for
the
call.
Yeah, and the higher grade you would want to get graded and maximize on your card.
A couple of the emails on comics have come in for Bill Townsend of Electric City Comics. This one's from Max, and the subject heading, early 1900s comics, tip-top weekly, cases of them, looking what to do with them. What do you do with them, Bill?
Okay, now the first comic books didn't appear until the 30s.
Okay.
And all the comics before then were generally collections of newspaper strips.
Uh-huh.
Now, there was a Tip Top Comics that was essentially an anthology of newspaper strips.
Okay.
The same way that Famous Funnies was.
All right.
Is that what they're talking about?
It's an email, so I'm not sure. It just says early 1900s comics, Tip Top Weekly, cases of them, looking what to do with them.
Tip Top Weekly. Do you know what I think? I think those must be newspaper inserts. Because back in the 40s and before, for instance, Will Eisner that did The Spirit did something called The Spirit Section, which was a comic section featuring the adventures of the Spirit, that he sold to newspapers all over the United States.
Yeah.
And so every Sunday there would be a Spirit section, which essentially was a newsprint Spirit comic book.
Uh-huh. All right.
So I wonder if that's what they're talking about.
No idea.
That's not really a comic book properly, but I mean it's related, and I would imagine it has some value, but you know, they're entirely made of newsprint, and they don't have the glossy covers. So the decay that happens to newsprint happens to those more readily.
One more comic question here, and this is probably right in your wheelhouse, Bill Townsend. This is from Daniel. And Daniel says, I often buy the first issue of a new series, hoping to get the start of the next Walking Dead or Saga. But lately, with the proliferation of variant covers It seems like a hopeless investment unless I buy a rare incentive cover like Berserker's 1 in 1,000 cover. Should I stop grabbing regular issue 1A covers when they come out? And that is from Daniel.
Daniel, you said a mouthful. Basically, the I guess the chase covers, the same way that they're chase cards,
yeah,
are a big thing now, and it's a very confusing issue. For instance, with things getting started again after the pandemic, a lot of publishers kind of gave little gifts to comic stores, these basically thank you editions. That's basically every comic store gets one and only one.
Yeah.
So, for instance, there was a book that came out, The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin, number one. They sent a thank you edition out, and I was able to sell it for $75. And the guy I sold it to said, huh, I would have paid $150 for this.
Ah.
Like, well, thanks for telling me now.
Yeah, that hurts.
I mean, but a lot of it is like, you know, the regular covers read just as good as the special covers. If you're buying a series because you enjoy reading it, the cover really isn't so important. And also, it's really difficult to say just from the get-go whether an alternative cover is going to be a big thing.
Right.
It's completely a crapshoot. I mean, just yesterday I was pricing a number of these thank you editions, and I was just looking them up on eBay, and there are a number of them that's like, it's selling for a little bit more than the cover price of the book.
Yeah.
But you get something like Berserker number one with those 1 in 1,000 variants.
Yeah.
Basically, any store that has one of those had to buy 1,000 copies of that book just to get it.
Right.
1,000 copies of the regular book.
Well, that's a pretty good little racket they got going there. And
there's probably maybe 100 of them in the entire United States.
Interesting. All right, let's take one more call at least here. We only have about 90 seconds left before we got to go. This one is Michael in Latham. Michael, you're on. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Yes, I have an original copy of Superman number 100 from 1955 in excellent condition.
All right, your connection's pretty bad, but I heard original copy of Superman 100 from 1955.
Yes.
And what condition?
It cost 10 cents. Excellent. Yeah, it cost 10 cents at the time.
Okay. Bill.
Okay, unfortunately with comics, excellent isn't a condition. As a matter of fact, the comic grading scale, the lowest grade is good. So, and a comic book in good condition is barely holding together. A very nice copy of Superman 100 from 1955. And I kind of thought that Superman 100 was a little earlier than that.
Okay, so we're almost out of time.
Is definitely going to be, you know, a really nice copy is going to be, I would say, in the $1,500 range.
Cool.
But let me just confirm here.
All right.
Because, I, in all my years of running a comic book store, I don't think I've ever had one.
Okay. You know what? Someone is in a petting zoo, and I got to tell you, we're out of time here. There's a lot of background noise. You guys are fabulous. Bill Townsend, how do we find Electric City Comics on the web?
Okay. We are on Facebook, and we also have a website, electriccitycomics.com, that's got our phone number and our address and everything, but we're mainly on Facebook.
Hey, man, thanks for being here. Al Itzkoff of Al's House of Sports Cards, how do we find you on the internet?
Well, you guys can find me right on Facebook, or I'm right on good old Union Street.
Okay. Hey, great job, both of you. Thanks for being here. And next time, we'll be in person, hopefully. And we appreciate you joining us via the telephone. Support comes from Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, career testing, job strategies, interview preparation, LinkedIn lessons, resume and cover letter writing, accepting new clients, careersintransitionllc.com. At Inquiring Minds Bookstore, New Paltz, Saugerties, proudly independent with books, vinyl, CDs, organic coffee, and teas made with fresh local spring water, in-store shopping, curbside pickup, local delivery, inquiringbooks.com. Just a word about Zach Molloy. You know, we've been doing these shows with no guests in the studio for well over a year now, and Zach hasn't once blown his top. It's a little difficult from an engineering standpoint, but Zach, we appreciate your efforts, sir. Thank you very much. We'll be back tomorrow, perhaps. Thanks to Jada Lewis and Dina Salzman for answering the phones. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, more collecting. Oh, good heavens. Tomorrow, you drag out the stamps and the coins, and we'll talk about that for an hour. Okay, see you at 2:00.